This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Last week was a big event that happened to Klal Yisrael. An event that brought a lot of response from different communities and all different types and stripes of Klal Yisrael. And that was the release of Mordechai Rabashi. It was an event that everyone was involved with. Excitement. There was response from every part of Klal Yisrael. And I paid attention and studied the different responses that people had. All the different emotions and responses that we saw. Many took the Rubashkin release as a ness, a miracle. They attached it to Chanukah, the last day of Chanukah. He was released, Nes Chanukah. And they were all excited. Nisim b'yameinu, a miracle, an open miracle. Then there were many who took the Rubashkin as a lesson of emuna and bitachin. Take a look. He had so much emuna and so much bitachin through the sentence, then the jailing and everything that he went through, and it came to a geula. It brought about a tremendous geula, a yeshua. Emunah bitachin. And then there was a third response. Happiness. Achdus, unification in Klal Yisrael. All the different chugim, the different sects of Klal Yisrael, all joined with one voice to be happy. To be happy from Ramartcha's release. And the end of the suffering of a family, of an entire family. Now, Nisim, we know how the Kadosh Baruch Hu does Nisim. And probably in the history, and probably in the realm of all other Nisim, it's probably not from the biggest Nisim the Rabbi Shalom did. Nisim we see every day, Rabbi Isai. Achayenu amsurim biyadecha v'alishmaseinu apkuda yislach v'alisecha shebechal yoyim imanu v'alniflo yisecha v'tayveisecha shebechal leis erev avoike v'tzaroyim. Every Yid sees Nisim all the time. Don't believe that we need a ness, so to speak, of the release of a Tyre Yid to speak about the Rabbi Shalom's Nisim. Yes, it's definitely something to be happy about. But we know the Rabbi Shalom does Nisim. And that Emun and Bitachin brings Yeshua and Geula. I think every Yid throughout his life is going to learn that. And anyone that's been around for quite some time and has grown up living in this world, knows that Emun and Bitachin is the only route to live, it's the only way to live, and it's the only way that there's Geula v'Yeshuas. So that's also not to me a tremendous lesson that should be learned here. What to me is maybe more than the other two responses, greater than the other two responses, is the achdus, the unification, that Klal Yisrael comes together to be happy, happy. Happy for the Yeshua of a prat, of an individual. and the individual's family. Did anyone have personal kesha with the Rabashkin, with Mordechai? I'm a Vadi, he had friends, and there were people around, but most people didn't have a personal connection to him, and yet the celebration and the joyous simcha for his Yeshua, each one took it as if it was his own. That's to me even maybe the greatest ness of all. It's the ness of Klal Yisrael. It's the miracle that speaks to the greatness of Klal Yisrael. The Am HaNivchar, the Yid. That's something to put up and celebrate. Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael. When you look and you see that response to the Yeshua of an individual, we need to keep in mind and keep in focus the tzara of a different prat, a different individual and his family. In the backdrop of the Azan tragedy. So interesting how perplexing almost. On one hand, the suffering and the pain that we have to feel for a beautiful family that suffered such a tremendous tragedy. And then the next day, we have to dance besimcha for the Yeshua of a different family. It's all the mechanics and the dynamic of what it means to be Yid. Here we're in pain and we suffer, and here we are besimcha for individuals that we have no shaychus to. And they both require the same response. Just like here where we're happy, it requires the masses to join together in Avelus, in being Mishtatev Bitzar of a family. It's the same. Kishem Shemevarchim ala Toiv Kach Mevarchim ala Ro. It's the same Kishem. We need to be sure that we show the same response. We need to be diligent to show the same response. To just like we went out and with such fanfare, we were besimcha for one family and it's Yeshua. We need to show the same amount, kishem, the same exact amount of tsar and yogoin and distress for a different family. And the Rabbeinu Shloilam, whose cheshbainus we don't understand, wanted it back to back. Who knows why? But this is definitely the avoida. The avoida was, which is obvious to anyone who pays attention, the avoida was, yes, Rabbi Yishon wants to see avelus for the yachid, for the prat, and simcha for the prat. Because that really proves that we're all united. It proves that we're taka all one family. There's a beautiful vart from Rameya Shapiro. The Gemara says, Atem kruyim Adam, ve'en umas ha'olam kruyim Adam. You're called Adam, man. Well, goyim are not called man. In the times of the Bayless trial in Russia, the goyim and their priests got together to attack the Shas. And they tried through the courts, the Russian courts, to ban the Shas. It was racist against the Goyim, against Christianity. They found in Chazal in different memories, different sayings of Chazal, which the Goyim found are against them. And one of them was this, Atam Kriyim Adam, that Klal Yisrael are called, what do you mean, we're subhuman? How could you talk about us that we're subhuman? And it flared the anger of the Goyim, the anti-Semitism of the Goyim. In defense of the Shas, there was a group of great Tamid Chachomim, Rabbonim, and Rebbes that came together to try to answer all these different types of Chazalin that the Goyim are going to pick on to harass the Shas and harass Klal, the Eden, that they shouldn't learn the Shas. Ramea Shapiro came up with a brilliant pshat in defense of this Chazal to say in the courts, Atam Kruyim Adam doesn't mean that you're subhuman. It means something completely different. A human being, a man, a person, Adam, is a unit. Could a person say, if my hand is hurting so my foot isn't okay, he has no problem? Could the foot say, I'm hurting, and the arm say, well, that's nothing to do with me. You're very far, you're somewhere far down on the human body. We have no connection. Of course it doesn't. It's impossible. Why? Atam Kruyim Adam. Adam is one unit. And if his toe hurts him, then the top of his head hurts him, right? It's the same. Klal Yisrael is Adam. When one is in pain, then all of us are in pain as one person. Umasayilam are not like that. If you have a connection with the guy that's having the problem, then he bothers you. And if not, what does that? What is John has nothing to do with Jimmy. If you don't know Jimmy, well, it bothers him that Jimmy from five blocks away is going through who knows what. What does it have to do with him? If he knows Jimmy, because he plays with him golf every Sunday, then it bothers him, maybe, a little bit. Right? That Jimmy's going through who knows what problem. But if he hears on the news that so-and-so he doesn't care. That's pshat. Atam kruyim odom. Rabbi Nishleilam is looking to see that we are Adam. That each hand feels the pain of the other hand as one Adam, as one person. There's a beautiful pshat from Isaiah the Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Mamnisham. Beautiful, beautiful Moiridik Pshat. In Parshas Shmos, we find that Klal Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim, and the Galus, and the Shibud, and the pain, and the suffering of Galus in Parshas Shmos, and it continues in Parshas Ve'era. Finally, at the end of Parshas Boi, when they're ready to leave, only 2/3 of Klal Yisrael left. Chamushim. Pasuk in beginning of Parshas Bishal, Chamushim, Echad Mechamish, 1 of 5. Chazal say, what happened to the rest? Mesu, they died during Makas Cheshech. Why did they die? It was those that didn't want to leave. Those that didn't want to leave, they remained comfortable enough to stay in Mitzrayim. They didn't want to leave. They got killed out. Mefarshim ask, it's not a chiyuv misa. If someone doesn't want to leave Mitzrayim, maybe they're afraid to leave Mitzrayim. You know, when you get comfortable, it's very hard to pick yourself up. Don't forget, lechtech acharei b'midbor b'eretz lo yizrua. They're being told to go into a desert. The Rebbeinu Shalom looks at this as a chesed. That Klal Yisrael went into the desert. It's not simple to pick yourself up and go into a wilderness. You remain comfortable, and even if it's not such a good situation, you make the best of it. Many explain Many historians interpret that's the reason why the Jews, when they saw the oncoming trouble of Nazism, of Hitler, Germany, they didn't run. They pacified. They were malala. They were Moira Heter, so to speak. It's not going to be so bad, eh? And they interpret it because it was difficult to pick yourself up and go. You have your house and you have all your belongings. People don't want... It's very hard to pick yourself up and move and change your whole life and location. Today we have this in France. They talk about in France how they have to move and it's so bad, the situation in France. And they end up never moving. A lot of them are staying on. And when you ask them, it's because it's difficult. It's difficult to pick yourself up and move and go. So what was the chet? What was the terrible sin of not wanting to leave Mitzrayim? It could have been explained away and be alim utzchus. It's hard to go. Why did they punishment with death? Is it a chi of misa? And let's say it's a chisar and emuna. Let's say, okay, mikenzong pshat was chisar and emuna. They should have believed in Rabbeinu Shloim. Rabbeinu Shloim says, "I want you to go and mitzias Mitzrayim kabbal." So, okay, be a chay misa. It's not one of the chiyuvim misa. My Zaydah Zatzal is a Meir Dikavart. If you look at the Mefarshim, the Netziv is very elaborate on this point. The Yidden that didn't want to leave, they were comfortable because their situation, even monetarily, was getting better. If you notice, they were asked by Moshe Rabbeinu, Pitzivei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'shali Ish Meshchenta Migaras Beis HaKlei Kesef HaKlei Zov, they should go borrow. What's Garas Beis? A Garas Beis means someone who lived in your house. What is a Mitzri doing living in your house? How are the Mitzri? They were the landlords and they were the tenants, and even more, he says, they had slaves. Because they were already moving up in society. They came as greeners. They were outsiders, and they were... But then, slowly but surely, you can figure out a way how to, move up in the societal ladder, right? To the point that they started hiring work. They started hiring help. They had help. A lot of them started making it, so to speak, in Mitzrayim. And those didn't want to leave. It's really in the Netziv already, this Yesod, in Hamikdover. Says my Zayda, wait a minute. You're able to survive the situation. It's starting to work for you a little bit. What about the rest of Klal Yisrael that's suffering terribly in Mitzrayim? And you can't understand that you got to give up this little bit that you're making, this little bit success that you have, because the rest of Klal Yisrael is suffering. That's not my Klal Yisrael. That's not what... I put you in Mitzrayim to unite you as an Am. Golus is supposed to unite the Yid. Loishinu Shmam, Loishoinam, Umalbusham. Mefarshim talk, the Maral speaks a lot about this, how Golus is supposed to create the unity of Klal Yisrael. And for some reason, at the end of the Shibud, the end of the experience of Mitzrayim, the Yidden were saying, for me it's getting okay. They had to die. They it's almost like a schus. They don't have the schus to be part of this whole. And they couldn't have even been forced to leave, because they wouldn't be leaving as Yidden that what they were supposed to become in the Galus. They were supposed to become Am Yisrael. A nation united, a nation Adam, that's one unit. They were lacking the problem. My foot hurts, but that's not my hand. Their hand was making the money, but their feet were hurting because the rest of Klal Yisrael was suffering. They lacked this Atem Kruyim Odom, so the foundation of Yiddishkeit and the Yisoid of Am Yisrael was being disintegrated. It was losing its, and therefore they couldn't survive Mitzrayim. Rabbi Yishom had to take them, and during Makkos Choshech, take them out of the picture, so to speak, take them out of the equation. So maybe they get the hair. Klal Yisrael must be united, or it's not just that it's not united, it's not Klal Yisrael. And you can't be a part of that. Klal Yisrael being Nifrad. And what is Nifrad? Nifrad can mean I'm fighting with the other guy. That's not the Nifrad that the Pasuk is referring to. It's a Nifrad of not empathy. It's not being Mishtatef, Bitzar. It's not feeling the pain of the other person. That's already enough to be considered not part of the Klal. I would say, not part of the Klal. I'm fighting with you. I have nothing to do with you. I'm in you. That's called terrible destruction. That might even bring Churb Beis HaMikdash. This is not, this is even something less than that. What is this? This is Klal Yisrael not united as one entity. Mitzrayim was supposed to create that to be mishtatef, in the tsar of the other one. Rabbi Yankiv Kamenetsky, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, said it once a very profound thing. There's a whole issue of making a Sheva Brachas in a shul. It's a party. Sheva Brachas is just a party. There's no Kedusha to Sheva Brachas. It's a party. That's all it is. It's a simple party. To Mesamech Dechasin, it's a nice thing. It's a mitzvah to be Mesamech Dechasin. But it's not a Dover Sheva Kedusha. Why is it done in shuls? People make Sheva Brachas in shuls. So Rabbi Yankiv comes with a unique perspective, a heter. And that is, it's to teach Klal Yisrael and to teach us that a Sheva Brachas, which is the celebration of the building of another home, another family in Klal Yisrael, is not a personal thing. It's Taka, the Tzibur. It's Taka Klal Yisrael. Sheva Brachas, it's not the Pshat. He got married and he has a Simcha. We have a Simcha. Klal Yisrael has another Simcha. Klal Yisrael has another great event, the building of another home. So where do we make it? We make it in the shul. We make it. It's a davish and gedusha for the klal, and that's why it's permitted in a Beis HaKnesses. When my son Pinchas bar mitzvah at his bar mitzvah, I got up and I was trying to bring out this point. So I gave the oilam bracha when I finished my speech, and I said, and therefore, I would like to wish you all should be zeiche to simchas by me, and I should be zeiche to simchas by you. That is my schus to have your simchas, and your schus, and your bracha is to have simchas by me, because it's all one. It's atem kruyim atem. We're all one unit. And the Rabbeinu Shloilam, maybe, I don't know Chushved Rachmana, but the Rabbeinu Shloilam wants to test us in the Galus. Is it Atem Kruyim Adam in the pain, in the a family, a fire, something that any person has any drop of Yiddish gefil should feel tremendous pain from it and lose sleep over it. And at the same time, Mamish flipping almost hours later, the simcha of another Yid should affect that we should go out into the streets and dance. The Bishop's testing the V'achakach bo bonecho. Yidin arbonim l'Hashem. We're considered one family with one tat in Himmel. When you understand that there's one father, it's ein tata. When you understand that Klal Yisrael, arbonim of Hashem, are all brothers. Maybe that's the connection that was to Chanukah. It happened on Chanukah. The Rabbi Hashem is testing the words, Ach kach bo bonecho. Do we understand the Tata, the Father, the Rabbi Nishleilam? Because if we're Banim, that means we understand the Rabbi Hashem's Father, that means we have to understand we're brothers. Very shayach. I'd like to talk the union of Achdus. Achdus of Klal Yisrael, the unification and unity of Klal Yisrael. Yosef, after they buried Yaakov Avinu, gives reassurance to the brothers who were afraid and concerned that he would take revenge for Mechiras Yosef. So he gives them reassurance. Don't worry. Don't worry. Vayoyim aleihem Yosef al tiro. Bereishis nun. Pasuk ches. Pasuk chof. Pasuk yutes. Vayoyim aleihem Yosef. Actually. Vayoyim aleihem Yosef al tiro. Yatachas. Alehim anoichi. Vatim chashavtim alai ro. Alehim chashav letoiva. Rabbi Yisrael planned it, it should come out this way. And then again he tells him, Atal Tiro. Again, don't be afraid. It says already, Vayoyim aleihem Yosef al Tiro. So he already told him not to be afraid. I mean, the Torah is repeating. Now, you know, the conversation, what it was, might have been elaborate. Don't be afraid. If the Torah repeats it, it's to be madgish, it's to stress. And what is he stressing? Again, Al Tiro. I'll feed you. I'll still supply you and give you sustenance and support. And then it says, why so much promise? All he had to say is, I'm not going to take revenge. Hey, you come to me, I think Yosef, I think now you're going to take revenge. So you know what he should have said? Al tiro, I will not take revenge. It's all good. Why more adding and it's emphasizing, I'll support you, and everything will be good, I'll feed you. Bali Musar, they say that it's a lesson to be learned from here, something that we find in the Hanhagas of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. The story is told of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter that someone mistreated him on a train ride, not knowing it was Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. The person, when he realized it was Rabbi Saul Salanter, he came over to apologize. I'm sorry, Rabbi, I didn't realize it was you. You know, I see, I guess they came to the train station and people came to greet Rabbi Saul Salanter. And he goes, that's chap on kop. Who did I chep? Who was I disrespectful to? So Rabbi Saul Salanter said, no, don't worry, it's fine, it's good, it's all okay, you didn't do anything. From that day on, Rabbi Saul went out of his way to do him extra favors, to show more, to reassure that he's not upset at him. So Bali Musa say that it's really pshat in the story of Yosef. It wasn't enough to say, okay, don't worry, I'm moichel you. Or the Rabbi Mechai says he was a moichel, but whatever it is, he could have said, don't worry, I'm not gonna take revenge. No, when I hear chalko. Okay, and I'll keep on giving you and doing and caring for you and doing you favors. My humble opinion, I'd like to say another pshat, which I think is emes. I think it's Baruch Hashem, a beautiful deher. There's a maral in the Sivas Olam, page Kufay and Beis, in the Sivat Tzedakah. He says a yesod, Tzedakah is Achdus. The way to create unification in Klal Yisrael is by giving tzedak, by giving, by supporting, helping everyone. Could be Yosef, as we're going to learn soon, his avoda Mitzrayim was to be mesaken the pirud, the splintering of the achdus that happened in the home of Yaakov that led them down to Mitzrayim. Yosef's avoda, as we're going to learn, and I guess we could speak a lot about, but we'll take out a few examples, was l'sakin ha'achva v'ha'achdus, to fix this achva and achdus that got splintered. Part of this reunion of the brothers with the father, this was the tikkun. It was the joining together of the brothers as one family, as one unit. And Yosef understood, stuck. I got it. Vanoichi, that's what we try. Va'alta alti ro. I promise you, I'll keep on giving you support. Stuck is achdus, and I'm going to work on this achdus. If you notice, Yosef is the melech. It's an interesting story. Yosef, melech. They were fighting over this also. Who's going to be the melech of the brothers? What melech? What, in every home there's a fight. Who's the king? I don't know. What, your brothers. Where does a king? What is king? So maybe it has to do with the future. Klal Yisrael will eventually have a king. And the question is, who's the king? But we know Yehuda's the king. I don't know. It's an interesting topic that needs to be analyzed and studied. But I hold as a meridik pshat. In the story of Melech, in the story of the brothers of, and the fight of the brothers of with Yosef. There's another maral. The maral explains that the avoid of the Melech, the concept of Melech is to make achdus and klal Yisrael. The Melech is there to represent the klal. Now, the understanding of it is quite shot, and that is, Klal Yisrael is many, hundreds of thousands of people, but they're represented in one. Lev Melech is Lev Ha'am, there's one heart. Pay attention, Rabbi Yisai. Chazal tells Lev, the Lev of the king is the Lev of the Am. How do you unify an entire Am? Through one heart, through the Melech. And the Melech represents the Rebbeinu Shloilom, which is klar in the Chazal. And it's Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're unified with one lev, with one heart. The Melech is Lev Ha'am. I've studied this, I've been eyeing into this quite a lot. It's clear, the Maral speaks many a time, and all the Mepharshim speak, the Melech is there to unify the nation. To be ma'achid it. How are you ma'achid? It means lev echod. Ein lanu ela lev echod ela avinu shebashamayim. And the melech represents the Rebbeinu Shloim, so it actually unites the Rebbeinu Shloim and the Klal Yisrael in one person within one lev. Yosef is the melech. Yosef's job is to unify. Says Hua Masbir, and he was also what? Masbir is to supply food. The story of they came down, food. That is rather the avoid of the Mel. The Gemara says in Brachas that every day they came to David HaMelech. And they would say, Amch Yisrael Tzrich and Parnasa. Every day. It's a first Gemara in Brachas. Every day. Can you imagine? Every single, it says every day. This was the Seder HaYoyim. First Seder of David HaMelech. What was first Seder? So the Gemara gives through his Seder Ayoyim, and one of the things was that they came in and they said, Amch Yisrael Tzrichim Parnosa. It's the king's job, Parnosa, it's his. And then he gave, and he said, what? Lechu Parnasu? Zemizeh, interesting, Zemizeh, Achdus, unification. You and him joined together. Lechu Parnasu Zu, Mizu. Mara says they said it's not enough money, so they went l'mecham. But why is it the avoid of David HaMelech every day? Because the Melech is there to unite Tztaka, Parnasa, to feed, is the way to unite. And that's the job of the Melech. This becomes the issue and yesod of Melech in the brothers. There's an interesting Chazal. Chazal tell us the Beis Hamikdash is part of the avoda of unification of Klal Yisrael. The koyach, the dynamics of the Beis Hamikdash is to create unification in Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says that the Olam L'Olam Tzar Li Amakom, there was always plenty of room. Plenty of room in the Beis HaMikdash. Gemara says, how could there be room? How is it possible? And the Gemara says, it was a tremendous nest. It was a miracle. They stood squeezed together. Tzufim. But when they bowed, Mishtachavim was Revachim. The Kotzker Rebbe used to say a beautiful pshat. Mishtachavim, when someone bends a little bit, then there's room. It's when everyone stands in their place, and they don't want to budge, bend. Oimdim, everybody stands in his ground, so to speak, then it's tzfufim. It gets very congested. Oh, but mishtachavim, people are ready to bow a little bit, bend a little bit, then it becomes revachim, there's room for everybody. Why? When there's a havum, there's plenty of room, the Gemara Sanhedrin says. Plenty. There's never a problem of room when there's love. Beis HaMikdash was there to mimachit Klal Yisrael. If you notice, Oyla Regel, what is Oyla Regel? Bevoi Kol Yisrael, Kol Yisrael. All of Klal Yisrael was supposed to go to be Oyla Regel. The times of Oyla Regel, Yom Tif, were there to bring Klal Yisrael together as one. And what's the pshat is one? Because the Rabbeinu Shloilam, the Shechina, connects to Klal Yisrael in the Beis HaMikdash when they're one, when they're united. It's Bevoi Kol Yisrael. There's a Mordek Maral in Netzach Yisrael. The Maral says that the reason why the split in Malchus between Malchus Beis David and Malchus Yisrael did not happen in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, because he built the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is unity, and the split of Malchus, of the two kings, of David and Yisrael, is a sign of Pirud, of a split in the unity. So it couldn't be Biyamav, in the days that he built the Beis HaMikdash, that there should be a split in his Malchus. Malchus is unity. Beis HaMikdash is unity. Maybe. When Yosef and Binyamin come together, they fall on each other's. It says they cried. What did they cry about? Yosef cried, Binyamin the Beis HaMikdash. Binyamin cried, Mishkan Shilai. Rashi, the Chazal. Why? At that moment of unity, the Beis HaMikdash. Because Beis HaMikdash is what? It's unity. It's Achdus. And at that moment, there was the moment of Tikkun that they fixed the Achdus, but they saw that it's going to get destroyed. This Achdus, which means Churban HaMikdash and Churban Mishkan. It is that moment that they come together, that they unite together, which was the ultimate tikkun. The brothers are coming together. At that moment, they envisioned churban, which means what? Pirud. Pirud of Achdus. I believe strongly, and I've explained this to you many shiurim throughout the years, Yosef's avoda was to fix the achdus, to fix the achdus and that became splintered in a way. Mefarshim tell us that he was responsible for this pirud, for this. And that's why his avoida was to fix it. I want to discuss this with you. Was Yosef shuldig, in Yiddish is the word shuldig, was he somewhat guilty in the pirud that happened between the brothers? Was he guilty? You know, there was Asar Arugi Malchus. Yeah, Rabbi Yisai, everybody knows Asar Arugi Malchus. 10 giants, tzaddikim, tanoim, they were murdered because of Mechiras Yosef. Mefarshim ask, but there were only 9 brothers who sold. There were only 9 of them. So why 10? Why Asar Arugi Malchus? The Gra says, Moyudika Moyudika Pshat. The Gra learns that the 10th was because of the Rabbeinu Shlomo. The Rabbeinu Shlomo also needed kapora and tikkun. Why? Chazal tell us that they joined together and they made a bezdin with a chayrim. And who was the 10th on that bezdin to sell? No, who? Rabbeinu Shlomo. The 10th one was Rabbeinu Shlomo. So Rabbeinu Shlomo made a kapora, which is an unbelievable chiddush. It's something which is needs explanation. What do you mean? Rabbeinu Shlomo could be wrong that it needs it. But the truth is, we find this. We find clearly that Reish Chodesh, Zman Kapara, bring a carbon because Shemi Atati is Alavona. Rabbeinu Shlomo told us the moon becomes smaller. So Rabbeinu Shlomo says, I need a kapara for that. I hurt the moon, so to speak. I touched. Ungerit! Ungerit! I touched. I caused tsar, so to speak, whatever that means in terms of a moon, to the moon. Yeah, but the Rabbi Hashem is right. He can't be wrong. So how could it be kapara? Kapara is for chet. Chet means I did something wrong. Mefarshim say, and this is a big yisoid in Hashkafa, kapara doesn't mean necessarily chet, wrong. Because kapara is also tikkun. It's to fix. There's a balance. You know, Mordechai HaTzadik, when he found out about the Gzeira in the times of Haman and Achashverosh, it says, Vayizak Zo'oka Gedoyla Umara. He went out into the street and he cried, a Zo'oka Gedoyla Umara. It's the same words that Esav, the cry of Esav when he cried when he lost his brachas to Yaakov. Zaka gedayla umara. Chazal and Masechtas Megillah tell us, yeah, Yaakov Avinu caused Esav this pain, that he should cry Zaka gedayla umara, so therefore many years later, his children, Yaakov's children, many years later, Mordechai had to be Zaka gedayla umara. Tikkun. You made Esav cry Zaka gedayla umara. Yeah, but he was right, Yaakov Avinu. He did the best thing in the world. He did the most right thing in the world. Esav was a gangster. Esav needs the brachas. Esav should be getting the brachas. Of course, Yaakov took it away from him. And more than that, it was Baruch HaKadosh that told him to do it. Rivka told him, Shema B'Koili, Yaakov, listen to my koil, my voice. Chazal say koili is Koil of Ruach HaKodesh. So the Rabbeinu Shalom told him to steal the brachas. The Rabbeinu Shalom told him to take the brachas. So the Rabbeinu Shalom told him to take the brachas. So how could Yaakov years later have to pay Zaka Gedoy Lamora for making Esav cry Zaka Gedoy Lamora? And the Teretz is, and this is a big lesson, in Benodom L'Chaveroi, and in Achdus, that you can even be right. You can be right. Yaakov was right. But Lamaisa, Esav got hurt. And when there's hurt, there's tikkun that's needed. It needs to be corrected. It needs to be fixed. Right and wrong is not an issue in tikkun. sometimes when you're 100% right, still a tikkun is needed. And that's the pshat by the Levana. The Rebbeinu Shem was definitely right for making the Levana smaller. Can't be wrong. The Rebbeinu Shem can't be wrong. Yet he still says, I need a tikkun. A lot of people are always busy with, but I'm right. It's not about right and wrong always. It's about the balance of when it breaks, you need to fix. You know, Asha Shibarto, Rabbi Shem gave Moshe Yashikoyach. It's interesting, he didn't say Chazaku Baruch. I'm sorry, I don't know. He should have said Chazaku Baruch for breaking the Luchis. He said Yashikoyach. Was he Ashkenaz? Whatever. Yashikoyach, you hear? Yashikoyach Shibarto. So it was a good thing he broke the Luchis. You know what happened? Because he broke the Luchis, Shikhas HaTorah. Chazal say it was Shikhas HaTorah. Torah was forgotten. But even it was a good thing that he did it. Not always about good and bad. It's about fixing and not fixing. Now let's get back to Yosef. Mechiras Yosef. The Rebbeinu Shlom said to sell. So Rebbeinu Shlom was the 10th on the Bezdin, and he didn't have taken. So one of the Asara Rugi Malchus went to be Misakin for the Rebbeinu Shlom's part of Mechiras Yosef. Says the Goyen, which one of the 10 was there to be Misakin? Which one of the 10 was there to be Misakin? Which one of the 10 was there to be Misakin for the Rebbeinu Shloilem? Says the Goyen, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was the one who went to be Misakin for the Rebbeinu Shloilem. Why? The Gemara in Pesachim says that Shimon HaTimani was Dairish every S in the Torah. S the Rabbis, to Id. Till he came to S Hashem Elikecha, Tira, S. What means the Rabbis what? You have to fear Hashem and only Hashem. Can't be fear Hashem plus and. Can't be and, it has to be only. So how is it S Hashem Elikecha, Tira, the Rabbis? Pirish. He said, I'm not going to explain anymore the yes. Kshem shem mekabim schar ala drisha, kach mekabim schar ala prisha. No more. I'm not going to explain anymore S. Achabar Abakiva. Abakiva said, S, Hashem, alikecha, tira, yishafir Hashem, S is l'rabbis talmid ha-chachamim. Why? Because the Talmud Chacham represents the Rebbeinu Shloilam. So when you fear the Rebbeinu Shloilam, you could fear the Talmud Chacham that represents the Rebbeinu Shlom, and it's all part of Yiras Hashem. Oh, you, Rabbi Akiva, think? You, Rabbi Akiva, are Doirish. You, Rabbi Akiva, learn Pshat the Pasuk that the Talmud Chacham represents the Rebbeinu Shloilam. So when the Rebbeinu Shlom needs a kapara, you'll represent the Rebbeinu Shloilam. Rabbi Akiva was the 10th. Tana. That was the tikkun for the Rebbeinu Shloilam. The Goyen says that it's Merum is in the Pasuk. By Meiser it says, Kol asher yavor tachas hashovet. Vo asiri yeh kodesh l'Hashem. So Pasha Pshah in the Pasuk is, Kol asher yavor tachas hashovet. They used to have a stick. 1, 2, 3, under the stick. And the 10th one, they would hit with a stick that had paint on it, and they knew that was Kodesh. So Hasiri was Kodesh, Hashem was Meiser. Says the Goyen, that's the pshat in Rebbe Akiva, going to Makom HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Merumah in this Pasuk. Kol Asher Yavor, the 9 that passed was Tachas Hashov and the Shvatim. Hasiri. The 10th where Rabbi Akiva was Kodesh Lashem, he went for the Rebbeinu Shlom. The room is in the Pasuk, the Inyan of Rabbi Akiva being the 10th one, and Asarugo for the Rebbeinu Shlom. It's a muyudika, muyudika pshat. Others learn that the reason that there was 10, only 9 brothers sold, because Yankiv Avinu needed a kapor. Because Yaakov was responsible that caused all the kinna and sinna, The Gemara says that Yaakov made a mistake by giving extra to Yosef, thus making the jealousy, causing the jealousy. So maybe the kapara is for Yaakov Avinu. While others learn that the kapara was for Yosef. Because Yosef told the dreams, he edged on that kinah, which led to the sinna, which led to the pirud ha'achim, so he needed a kapara. So Yosef was somewhat guilty, and he felt that guilt, and he knew that he needed to be misakin to fix that achdus. I found this very clear in a pshat of the Chasam Sofer, which is classic. You know, to pick Yaakov up from Canaan, to bring him to Mitzrayim, the pasuk says that Yosef sent agolis. He sent wagons with calves, agolis. Chazal say that he was sending him a message with this, and that was Egla Rufa, because that was the last parsha that Yaakov learnt Torah. We know Yaakov learned Torah with Yosef. The last thing he learned with Yosef was Egla Rufa. Why is he sending back this message? I'm still learning. He's trying to tell Yaakov, Oy Yosef b'nichai, as they say. What's pshat? Yaakov, when he heard that Yosef was alive, he wasn't that excited. Because who knows what he looks like already. You know? He's a Mitzrayim, and he's a Melech Mitzrayim. Oy vey. He's not only just a member of Congress there, he's the president. Oy vey, could you imagine how a kind of, who knows what, right? But then when he heard and he saw the agolis, he's still learning Torah. The lashon of the pasuk is Oid Yosef b'ni. My son Yosef is alive. Yosef is alive is not such a big excitement for me, but it's b'ni. Still my son, the son I taught Torah to, the son of his father, Yaakov. That to me is atchi ruach Yaakov aviyim. So by sending him back to Agolis, what is he sending him? A message that he's still learning Torah. Why was this the last parsha they were learning? Many Mefarshim say, because that was the story of Yosef, that he went to see the brothers without Leviah, without being escorted, which led to him being either, where Yaakov understood, killed, right? Yaakov thought Tarav Tairav, which is really the story of Egla Rufa. You know, there's a Das Geinim Ibali Ateisvis that says that that's not the message in the Agolis. It's not the parish of Egla Rufa. What is the Agolis that he sent, and what was the message that Yosef was sending back to his father? It's the Egla Sov, the Agolis, that brought to the Mishkan all the karbonis and the nasiim, right? Chanukah, Sabayis, right? Each nasi brought his karbonis and all his donation to. They brought it with agolis, with wagons, and those agolis is the agolis that they were learning. That sugya, so to speak, they were learning when Yaakov and departed with Yosef. That was the last thing they were learning. So Yosef is sending back the message that I'm learning is what? Eglosav, with the Nisim. Never understood this. What could you be learning about Eglosav? It's a simple thing that they brought Agolis. I mean, what's the big sub? Eglaruf is a big sugya. It's a big sugya, Eglaruf. But Eglosav, they were learning it. That's what's there to learn? These wagons, they brought the Nesiim's Karbanis. So I saw Moyudik Chasam Soifer. Moyudik Haflafel. Haflafel Chasam Soifer. Says the Chasam Soifer like this. The Agolis were actually not 12 Agolis, even though there were 12 Nesiim. How many Agolis? There were 6. 12 Nesiim, 6 Agolis. Why? Says the Chasam Soifer, because each Shevet, and the Nasi of their Shevet brought together with the neighboring Shevet and their Nasi. They joined together in one Agala, in one wagon to bring it. Why? Because that's the Yisoid of the Mikdash and the Mishkan. unity between the Shvatim. It had to be brought in one. As the Alshich explained, Shekla Kaidish. What's Shek? What's Kaidish? Chatzi and Chatzi. Two halves. Me and you are two halves that make what? One whole. Here, Rabbi Yisai, more yudik. Two halves make one whole. Two Shvatim together, one Agala, because that's how we build a Mishkan. Now, Yosef had a Maila over the rest of the Shvatim that he was Zoichet to have. How many Shvatim come from him? Two, Ephraim and Menashe. So how many Agalas did Yosef have? One between Ephraim and Menashe. Did he join with a different Shevet? No. He didn't have the schus to join together with his neighboring Shevet, with his neighboring brother. It was within the family, within the Shevet of Yosef, Ephraim and Menashe. One Agala, one chariot, one wagon. Yaakov was teaching Yosef this. Your actions are separating you. They're distancing you from your brothers. Yosef, yeah, Ephraim and Menashe, within yourself. You're not going to bring to the Mishkan together with, no, with your brother, the Shevet. He was telling, now it's interesting, maybe it's even deep because Yosef is about the Mishkan. We said this, Yosef is about the Mishkan. What is Yosef sending back his father, the message? Tata, I get it. At the end of the story, throughout the gullus that I went through in Mitzrayim, now I'm sending you back. I understand the last year. I got the kavana behind the last year. You were trying to tell me that the Pirud Ha'achim, I have to be nizer, I have to be careful. I'm somewhat responsible, but I got to work on it. And that could be the Pshat Yosef's Avoid in Mitzrayim. With this, Rabbeisai, I would like to explain to you one more beautiful Yisoid. You know, it's interesting. Lashon Hara. What is the Tikkun for Lashon Hara? The Tikkun for Lashon Hara is learning Torah. It's one of the Tikkunim. Why? Why? Why is the Tikkun learning Torah? So Pashi could say bad words, Torah is good words, right? Lashon Hara is bad speech, and Torah is good speech, right? Could you imagine how much Lashon Hara is out there on the internet and on the modern technology, and Torah Anytime is the anecdote, right? There's a plug for Torah Anytime. And Torah Anytime, yeah, is the opposite of all the Lashon Hara. It's Torah, speech, speaking, words. But I think there's a little bit more depth and pshat in this yisoid that Torah is a tikkun for Lashon Hara, and that is Lashon Hara is a mafrit. Lashon Hara separates. Lashon Hara separates. And Torah unites. Torah unites. Torah is ma'achid klal Yisrael. The Gemara tells us in Brachas that when someone parts with his friend, he should part through divrei Torah. Why? Shemitoykach zachreyu. Like this, he'll remember him. I say, divrei Torah, you remember me. Why? And the answer is very simple. Because connection, everlasting chibur, connection, is through Torah. You know, a person could play ball with people and go on here and there and make jokes. They'll never remember that guy. You'll remember your chavrus in yeshiva. That you'll remember. Someone who you learnt with, that's a connection. That's a real chibur. The Rambam says that Tamid HaChachamim, in the language of the Gemara and the Rishonim, is chaver. Tamid HaChachamim is called, why is he called a chaver? Because that's the true chibur. Chaverim, friends, is only through Torah. That connects. You can have an external connection. But a true, deep, real, penetrating, real connection something that's lasting and something that's deeper than just from the surface is through Torah. Because Torah has the koyach to unite. Torah has the koyach to bring neshamas together. My neshama unites with your neshama. My heart unites with your heart. Through what? Through Torah. When we accepted the Torah, it says we accepted it, we were in a madrega of ki'ish echad, b'leiv echad. I love to say over this chidah, I've done it, and I've said it over many a time in, to you in the past, and I'm going to say it over again. The chidah, I believe it's in Ayil David, the chidah says, Muridik Pshat. Chidah says that what month was the Torah given in? Sivan. Sivan. Why? Why was Sivan chosen to be the month? Says the Chidah, the mazel of Sivan, you know, each month has its te'umim, twins, to teach us this lesson that Torah needs, that Klal Yisrael has to unite as brothers, as twins. So the Torah was given in Sivan, because it needs Bridashaft, brotherhood, but not just brothers, twins. So I always tell people that I listen, they always say, every Yid is a brother. Yidin are brothers to each other. It's not so. It's not true. It's more than brothers. According to the Chidah, what is it? It's twin brothers. Not just... Now, you know, there's a study in the world that when twins, when one is in pain, the other feels it. You know that? You're aware of that? There's a study like this. You'll go home and you'll study it. There's talk that when brothers are twins, when one feels a certain pain, somehow the other brother feels it too. But the truth is, it's more than we're just twins. So we're not just brothers. We're twins like the Chidah, but we're more than that. Why? Ki'ish echad. We're Siamese twins. What do you mean? We're not just twins. I always say, let's learn the Chazal. We're brothers. Everybody knows Achim, Esachai and Eichim of Akish. You're not brothers. Brotherly love between you. It's more than that. The Chidah says we're Siamese. Tumim. And it's actually more than that. What are we? Ish echad. We're one person. We're joined. You ever see when Siamese twins? We're Siamese twins. Not identical twins. More. There's brothers. Then there's twins. And then there's identical twins. And here what? We're actually more than that. What are we? Ish echad. We're Siamese. And how about more? You ready? With one heart. You ever see when two babies are born with one heart? You can't separate them. It's impossible. That's Klal Yisrael. That was Matan Torah. We join at the heart, the lev. You know what the Beis HaMikdash is? Lev. We spoke about a lot on Tisha B'Av. Dabru Alev Yerushalayim. The heart. The Beis HaMikdash is the heart. And what is the heart? It's the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael. And it's all united with one heart. We beat to the same heartbeat. And I want to tell you something very interesting. If you notice, there's two chambers to the heart. There's the giving of the blood and there's the receiving of the other two chambers. One gives blood and one Staka, that's Klal Yisrael. That's the Chib. That's how you unite Klal Yisrael. One gives and one takes. One gives blood, damim, life, money, support, help, and the other one receives it. This is Mechaber, one heart. You know how many doctors it takes to separate Siamese twins with one heart? That's what Torah does. It creates that we should be all one heart. With this, Rabbi Sai, I think we can explain why Yehuda was sent by Yaakov before the brothers. What was he sent for? That's Yehuda Shalach Lefanav Lasis Loi Beis Talmud to make a yeshiva. Why? Why did he send you? So the Mefarshim say you can't go down to Mitzrayim till there's no yeshiva. If you don't have a yeshiva, you're not anchored in the yeshiva, you don't belong in Mitzrayim. You're going to get washed up with the tumas of the street of Mitzrayim. Efshir kemen zogin amoyudikim shakra, which maybe we could say amoyudikim taich. The yeshiva plus Yehuda. Why Yehuda? Who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Mitzrayim? Rambam says clearly it was Levi, it wasn't Yehuda. So I always say maybe Yehuda's malchus, royalty. Maybe Yehuda's gvura, to build. You need malchus. You need gvura to build Torah in a strange land, in a strange country. Maybe. But maybe we could say even tiefer. Yeshiva is Torah. Torah is to create ki'ish echad b'leiv echad, the achdus. And Yehuda, his job was vayigash elav Yehuda. Yehuda had to join with Yosef. Yehuda sold Yosef. Yehuda's job was what? No? What was Yehuda's job? Yehuda's job was to make Beis Talmud, the chibur. The yeshiva is there to join the neshama of Klal Yisrael as one, to unify Klal Yisrael. Yehuda's job, Yehuda's avodah, was to go down to Mitzrayim and build the Beis Talmud. Yaakov's home was a yeshiva. Yaakov was a Moiridika, home of Torah. But it wasn't yeshiva. Why? Because it was Pirud Ha'achim. You notice that when Yehuda sold Yosef, what does it say? Vayered Yehuda. Yehuda went down. Chazal say, what do you mean, Yered? What do you go down? They took him away from the Malchus. He became Ois Melech. He was the Melech of the brothers, and they told him, why? Melech is Achdus. Remember? Melech is Achdus. You sold Yosef? You broke that achdus. We took you away from being melech. Now Yaakov is saying your job is to go down to Mitzrayim and what? Unify. Unify. Unify the brothers, yeshiva. Rabbeisai, there's a tremendous avoida to unify. Why? Because the Rabbeinu Shloim and Klal Yisrael is Leiv Echad and Torah is part of that connection, and it needs chibur in order for it all to come together. In order for Yisrael, v'ayraisa v'kutcha brichu, Rabbeinu Shlel, Klal Yisrael, and what unites it in the middle? The Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yisrael. And what is in the middle? The chibur? Where is Torah? Torah is where? Who? What's the Lashon? We'll have to talk. Torah is about the lev. Torah goes straight to the heart. It's mechaber, the neshama of the yid. And when it's Torah with achdus, the Rabbeinu Shalom is unified in that lev. This, Rabbi said to me, is what I saw. What I saw in the Rabashkin story. I wish. We're so happy for you. All of Klal Yisrael was happy for you. And to the Hazan family, we suffer with you. Our hearts go out for you. Bemis, it doesn't leave my mind for a second, suffering. We promise that we'll daven for you, that you should have chizuk and strength to go through. And we will learn Torah. Le'ilu Nishmas, your families that didn't make it, and for the chizuk of your family that did make it, as our own. It is our families. This is one, Adam. It's all affecting us because we are people who live with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. We are people who learn Torah. And we are people of Am Echad, of Achdus and Klal Yisrael.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.